All right, back to Joshua chapter 1. Another Old Testament study. I don't know how far we'll go in the book of Joshua. We'll go as far as we feel led. Joshua is a wonderful type of Christ. We'll see a type of Christ here. We'll also see some practical helps to us. The Word of God is very relevant to where we are, each and every case, everyone here. The Word of God meets our needs where we are. It's not out of date at all. Very relevant. What God said to Abraham, what God said to Isaac, what God said to Jacob, applies to all of their sons, sons of Abraham, sons of Jacob. What God said here to Joshua, what Joshua said to his officers, applies to us. What Christ said to his disciples applies to us. We are his disciples. So it is relevant to each and every one of us. Now here in the last half of chapter 1, portion we just read, begin with verse 10. Joshua commands his officers. He is commanding the officers of the people. Look at verse 10. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, and then he gave them in all of these verses, with the exception of the last two, or the last three, are what Joshua is saying to his officers. And from the beginning, God Almighty has ordained men to be, as it were, officers, or take the oversight. These are scriptural words. Oversight, the rule, to lead, to watch over his people, like these officers, defenders. And from the 12 tribes of Israel to the 12 apostles, God has had these men, from prophets of old to now pastors. God says, I'll give you men after my own heart. Ephesians 5 says, when God ascended on high, when he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. It says he gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And he said he gave them, Paul told young Timothy, to deliver them who all their lives were held captive by Satan at his will. Those who were captive, to deliver them into freedom. And Paul tells us to remember them which have the rule over you, to obey them which have the rule over you. And if God has sent these men, then you must. So God, or Joshua here, is commanding these officers. Look at verse 11 now. And here's what he tells them. Pass through the host, command the people. Command the people, saying, and then he gives these orders. He tells them to pass through the host, to go right into the midst of the people and command them, or rather speak to these people. And this is what God tells all of his men, is to live with the people. Go right in the midst of them. Become one of them. Go out into the world. He doesn't separate his men from the people. He chooses them out from amongst the people. This is how God calls his preachers, from the church. That's how they're called. That's the scripture way of doing it, is bringing them up in the church, and then the church recognizing gifts on these men, and the church, and them being sent out by the church, recommended by them. These were men that came out of the midst of the people. As Christ himself, the scripture says, I've exalted one chosen out of the people. Nancy, you like that verse particularly. Christ himself, and so are Christ's ambassadors. They live in the world too. Christ said, he told the Father in John 17, he said, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but deliver them from it. So this is the qualification. And this is the command. Go in the midst of them. Verse 11. And he continues to command them, saying, prepare you victuals. Prepare you victuals. One of the last things the Lord told Peter was to what? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. This is the principal job of God's preacher. He tells them to prepare victuals. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. But here, if you'll notice, I'll take it to the, a little bit out of context. Here, Joshua is telling the officers to tell the people. Did you notice that? If you're following along closely, you will. He said in verse 11, pass through the host and command the people. Prepare you victuals. So how does that apply to us? Or me? Tells me to go to the people and tell them, prepare you victuals. Well, what did Paul say? Or Peter? What did Peter say? Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. What he's saying is feed off of the word. You feed. Come and dine. You know the old saying, don't you? You can lead a horse to water. You know the rest of it? You can't make him drink. Well, you can prepare all the food you will, and you can't make people eat it. So the command comes to you. You come and eat. Commands to me to prepare the food, but you to prepare yourself to receive the engrafted word, and so forth. So Joshua tells these officers to prepare the people. And he tells the people to prepare themselves victuals. All right, now he's going to tell them all to prepare themselves to cross over. Look at verse 11. Cross over the Jordan. And I can't wait to get to the part where they do cross over. Now, verse 11, he says, within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. 3 days, you'll go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Joshua tells these men to prepare the people to pass over Jordan. And that's the end, that's the goal, that's the purpose for all that I do. That's the purpose for all this. That's the reason we're here tonight, to prepare ourselves to cross over Jordan. Prepare to meet our God. And Joshua is telling these men to tell the people that this is what it's all about. From the beginning, when God called Abraham and chose a people through his loins and raised up this great people, and then Moses, and called Moses to deliver them out of Egypt, and then brought them to the banks of the Jordan, and then anointed Joshua to carry them over Jordan into the promised land. That's been the goal. That's been the purpose. That's been the reason for everything that has come to pass. Everything from day one has brought you to this point to prepare you to pass over Jordan. And all of our lives, the scripture said, all of God's purpose, the purpose of our calling, God has elected the people. And the end of our life, our conversation, the end of our life is, like Ephesians 1 said, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and are in earth, even in him in whom we have an inheritance. So get yourselves ready, he's saying, to pass over Jordan. Prepare yourself, people. We're going over Jordan. And it just might be 3 days for us, even. He will be in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. When a few years are come, the Scripture says, then I'll go the way in which I shall not return. A few years. For some of you, it's a lot fewer than others. Charles Ross, any day now. It may be that way for all of us. I'd love for all of us to go together, but it might not be. But for you, Charles, naturally speaking, you may be going over first. Prepare yourself. We'll go the way which we shall not return. The Scripture says, oh, that they were wise and would consider their latter end. That's why we meet here tonight. Consider the latter end. And it's a good one. It's a good one. You know, when we leave home, go on a trip, we generally prepare ourselves, don't we? Cody Gruber and I. And you prepare yourselves according to where you're going and how long you'll be staying. Don't you? When Cody and I went to Spring Lake, North Carolina, we were going down there just overnight. Well, I didn't pack. This is going to shock some of you ladies. But I didn't pack till about 10 minutes before we left. You say impossible. No, it's not. One pair of underwear, one toothbrush, and don't need comb even anymore, and razor, and shirt and pants, and go. Doesn't take long. One night, no big deal. No big deal. Well, if I were going for a week, I'd take more, and I'd spend more time in preparation. If I were going for a month, when we go to Kentucky for an extended period of time, we get a U-Haul for Mindy and Hannah's stuff. And she starts a week before. But the point I'm trying to make is, wherever you're going, however long you're staying, will determine how long you spend preparing for. All right? We're going to meet God, and we're never coming back. We're going to spend every day thinking about preparing for. Every day. Watch, the Scripture says. That's what watching means, preparing. Watching under prayer, waiting for the Lord, preparing yourself, your redemption draweth nigh. So it says to these men, all right, read on. It says to these men, verses 12 and 13, look here. For the Reubenites, Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Remember the word now, he tells these officers of the people. Remember the word, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Remember that. Remember the promises of God. The Lord has given you rest. So Joshua's telling these men, now, I'm choosing you. You didn't choose me. I chose you to go. And I'm behind this, and God's behind me sending you. Now, he says, this is not your doing. You just do what I say. Not your doing. These are not your people. These are God's people. These are my people. I'm the leader of these people. And he's saying, now, just remember the word. The word won't return void. God is true to his promises. Rest in that. You just do what I say. The land is yours. The land belongs to the people. Just remember that. And go. Rest. Take it easy. Nothing to worry about. I wish I could remember that as an officer of my Lord, a minister of his God. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. What is God's voice? What is Christ's voice? Who is Christ's voice? It's his preacher. And Christ said, they'll hear you. My sheep will hear my voice, and they'll hear you. They'll hear me through you. He said, my sheep will follow me, and they'll follow you. Go. Go. Remember the word. Think on the word. Preach the word in season, out of season. Preach the word. Just remember the word. That's your rest. That is your rest. That's your confidence. All right, verse 14. He says, your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. You shall pass before your brethren, armed. Your family will remain. You'll pass before them. This reminds me of our Lord calling his apostles. That's the reason I had you read that over in Matthew 28. It reminds me of him calling his apostles to leave their home and family. These were mighty men. Read on. It says they were men of valor. Mighty men of valor. In the middle, in the margin, it says they were armed. Does your margin say they were marshaled by five? You could allude to the 5 points of Calvinism there, could you? I like that. Marshaled or armed with the truth being. And Calvinism is the gospel. The gospel is Calvinism. That's exactly what it is, the truth. Doctrine of grace, armed men, and God has armed his men from the beginning with the truth. They have been mighty men of valor down through the year, and a help to all those that they've gone before. He said, help them, and the truth will. It'll set God's people free, minister to the people, the truth will. Verse 15, he says, until the Lord had given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. Go before them, armed, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, your wives, your little ones, all of them. Paul desired their salvation more than anything else. Another place he told the Thessalonians, he said, you're my crown of rejoicing. When the Lord shall appear, you shall appear with him. That'll be my crown of rejoicing. And every preacher of the gospel, his greatest hope and wish, what he wants more than anything else is the salvation of those whom he preaches to, and their little ones. Nothing would rejoice my heart any more than to see our children, Kevin and Jennifer and Brandon and Shannon, all our young people come to know this Lord. That's payment. That's it. Salvation. Verse 16. And he says, in verse 15, I didn't finish that. He says, then you shall return in the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And that's what Paul said in Thessalonians. I just quoted. All right, verse 16. And they answered Joshua. Joshua says, will you go? Will you go? And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Where you send, we'll go. What you say, we'll do. Verse 17. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. As we hearken to Moses, we'll hearken to you. And so these men went out. And so do all of those whom God sends to preach the gospel. And the scripture says that all of God's people are ambassadors of Christ. Men and women, all believers are ambassadors of Christ. He calls us all kings and priests. In Christ there's no male or female, so Nancy Parks is king in this sense. An ambassador of Christ in this sin. And we've all been called by the Lord himself, sent by him to do something. Men. Paul or John wrote to the children, and he wrote to the young men, and he wrote to the fathers. Remember that? Giving each one of them commandment. Paul in Ephesians talked to the to the women, didn't it? Told them that they had specific ministry. And to fulfill that ministry, men are spiritual leaders, not only in the church, but in their home. They're the priests of their home. Women are examples. They have the care of souls, their children, young women, youth. We each have a calling. We each have a place. I often hear people belittle their place or say that they don't really have a place in the church. But let me tell you this, just to be a member of the church is a high calling, a high honor, and a tremendous responsibility. Just to be a member of the church. Let me give you some examples here. You say, what can I do? Well, the Lord doesn't put us in the place of preaching first. He puts us in the place of sleeping. He doesn't put us in the place of authority first. He puts us over adults and so forth first. He puts us in the care of maybe children. Scripture says, be faithful in few things. He that is faithful in a few things, he said, I'll make him ruler over many. But he's not faithful in a few things, one thing. The Lord gives us one thing to do. Then we're to do that with all our might. Whatsoever our hand finds to do, if it's just washing the dishes after we've eaten dinner downstairs. We do it when we eat or drink or wash what we've eaten and drinking out of. We do it as unto the Lord with all our might, and we do it cheerfully. If we don't do that and not faithful in that, how can we expect the Lord to give us something greater? That's the best. Sherry and I were talking about this. She was in charge of hiring someone for their company, and she interviewed some people. And one of the criteria for them getting the job was their willingness to do the menial tasks, the little things. And she interviewed some people who had college degrees. If they weren't willing to sweep the floor and empty the garbage and clean the toilets, forget it. She's not going to make them in charge of greater things. And you prove yourself in that way. The Scripture says, who hath despised a day of small thing? I've given you Tom Hardy. I always put him up for an example, and he's a worthy one. I don't know of a man who's been more diligent in whatever he has done over the year. I hope he doesn't hear this. He'll be embarrassed by it. But he was custodian of the church in Ashland for a long time, and man, he did it with all the gusto and all the energy he could possibly muster, and cheerfully. And now, he's one of the most devoted. Well, I'd like to have him as my pastor. That's the highest recommendation I could give a man. I'd like to have him as my pastor. And I'd hang on his words. But he started that way. Just who hath despised a day of small thing? One who faithfully, diligently, cheerfully sweeps the floor and does it as unto the Lord is a needful ministry. What if Vicki Patton didn't sweep this floor? Is it needful? Is it a vital ministry? This nursery. What if these ladies that care for the nursery sit at night? That's nothing. There's nothing to that. I don't know. That's not necessary. We'd all soon find out just how necessary it is. Come Sunday morning, we gather all those little ones up here, we'd find out. Maybe we ought to do that and make us more thankful for the nursery. Now, what about taking, we say, what can I do? What about taking one of these young people under your wing? I think about our young men in this church. What about taking one of these young boys and making him a project of yours? Be an example to him. Is that a needful ministry? Whew. Is that profitable? Is that a ministry?
Well, John Newton wrote a young preacher one time, and he was bemoaning his lack of success in the ministry. He just had a few people. Newton wrote him back and said, he said, a man would greatly overestimate his worth. And this is his exact words. I'll never forget it. I read this 20 years ago. He said, a man would greatly overestimate his own worth if he did not feel it worth his while to spend 10,000 years in the labor for one soul. You get that? What about one little child? That's a soul, isn't it? Vicki, it's a vital work you're doing down there. A vital work. Vital work. Deborah's downstairs right now, so I can say that. Sarah Williams went up to the Bible school this year, and one of the teachers there who had her in her class came up to me afterward after the thing was about over, and she said, you know, she said, that's Sarah Williams. She said, she's really been taught. She said, she answered nearly every question I asked. She said, somebody really taught her.
How do you think that made me feel? Not only about her teacher, but her parents, this church, a child. She represented this church, didn't she? She represented this church up there, and she did it well. Sarah, you're listening. And Deborah's teaching. And Mom and Daddy is too. It's a ministry. Is it vital? Paul thanked Timothy's grandmother and mother. All right. So Christ tells us, you know, to do whatever we can. He tells us to wash feet and don't expect anything in return. Verse 18. And they said they would. And verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. That reminded me of 1 Corinthians 16:22. It says, any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be accursed. And he will. If any man doesn't follow our Lord's commandments, he will be accursed. Only be strong and of a good courage. So that's the principal type here in this text. Joshua represents our Lord, calling out his ministers of the gospel, calling out his people, his officers, plural. But there's also a type of Christ here. We can go back here and look at each of these verses as a type of Christ. Let's do that just very briefly, okay? Go back beginning with verse 10 again. And like I said, I didn't want to take it out of context because it was Joshua who represents Christ commanding his officers and sending them out before the people. But now we can look at this as God Almighty in a covenant agreement with his Son commanding him before his people. All right, let's look at it. Verse 10. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, and our Lord God commanded his Son in a covenant agreement. He made him captain of our salvation, didn't he? He was made perfect. The captain of our salvation, made perfect of the people. He was chosen. He was exalted as one chosen out from among the people. Verse 11, he says, pass through the host. Go down there. Pass through the people. And our Lord did. The Christ passed through this earth, didn't he? The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And command the people. And he did. Our Lord gave commandments. Our Lord spoke his word. And here's what he said. Prepare you victuals. Christ came and he said, take, eat. This is my body which was broken for you. This is my blood which was shed for you.
eat. It's prepared for you. My body, my blood, my body. If any man eat not my flesh or drink my blood, he has no part in me. He says, in 3 days you'll pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Christ says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll take you with me to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Read on. So he, to the Reubenites, the Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh, spake he. Remember the word. And our Lord did. He meditated day and night in the word. Not one jot or tittle of the law failed. And Christ fulfilled it all. He magnified it. The Lord gave us rest. He said, come, I'll give you rest. He's given us rest in Christ. Verse 14. Your wives, and this is God speaking to the Lord, Christ. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But you'll pass before your brethren armed. Christ is that armed man, isn't he? A stronger than he who passed before us, who went before his brethren. As the scripture says, Jesus went before them into Jerusalem, went before them to Calvary, went before them, faced Satan, faced the law, faced sin for us, and went before us into that river of death. These men, we're going to see in a little while, went over Jordan first into the land. He said, 3 days, you're coming with me. 3 days, he said. Look at verse 15. The Lord give your brethren rest as he given you, and they also possess the land. And you'll return to the land and enjoy it, which Moses gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. 3 days, he said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. I'll come back and get you, and we'll enjoy it together. This side. They woke up, and they were to face toward the sun rising. That's what he's alluding to there. This side of Jordan toward the sun rising. Everything faced east, in other words, where the sun arose. And that's where they were to look. That's where the temple was built. That's where the eastern gate into the temple, that's the way it was built. And toward the sun rising, toward the east. And we, the scripture says, are to run this race that's set before us, looking where? To that risen sun. Looking unto him, unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And they answered, and our Lord answered God's call, saying, all you command me, I'll do. Whithersoever you send me, I'll go. And that's what Christ said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, the people you've given me, I've given them your word. Verse 17, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. And Christ came and said, he that believeth on me shall be, and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall, and not baptized shall be damned. And lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the world. That's a very clear picture. All right, Sherry, if you come up, we'll see. Sing a song in closing. Let's sing number 510. 510. This reminded me of those people gathering there at Jordan. Let's sing them. Just sing.
Shall we gather at the crystal tide forever, flowing by the throne? Ere we reach the shining river.